I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You've just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.
A budget, whether it comes from a city or a province or a federal government, is big and dense and packed with numbers. There are always little details buried in its fine print that only come to light later on. And mostly these details irk people, especially people who voted for the guys who didn't get to make the budget. All of that is business as usual. But over the past couple of weeks since the Progressive Conservative government delivered a budget in Ontario, there are an awful lot of those little details.
Last week, the PC government cut funding to the North and South Ontario Library Services.
The Ford government wants to go from 35 public health agencies to just 10, slashing $1 billion in provincial...
A tree planting organization was told by the Ford government that $4.7 million in funding is being cut.
The provincial government is planning to axe more than 3,400 teaching positions over the next 4 years to save some money.
And the people of Ontario, well, they seem a bit beyond irked. There has been news of cuts to services and funding and programs nearly every single day since the budget dropped in Ontario, and the list is kind of staggering to contemplate. So of course, for some, this is the end of the world. And to be fair, the sorts of services that are at risk here do seem fairly critical. On the other hand, Doug Ford's government won a mandate to find savings and balance the budget of a province in debt. So are they not just doing what they promised? Or have they gone beyond their mandate? How hard is it to keep track of these various measures when there's a hailstorm of them? And are we, I mean us in the media, doing a good job at focusing on what's important here? Or are we just chasing each shiny new object as it's revealed? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Fatima Syed is an investigative reporter with the National Observer. She spent much of the past week exhaustively tracking a list of all these cuts. Hi, Fatima.
Hi, Jordan.
Can you tell me, first of all, in broad strokes and for people who might live outside of Ontario, what's been going on in this province for the last few months?
That is a very big question to answer. I'm going to approach it in a slightly different way than you phrased it. I'm going to tell you everything that happened just last week.
All right.
So what we learned last week is that the Ford government is getting rid of OHIP's medical emergency coverage for Ontarians who travel outside of the country.
Mm-hmm.
What this means is that if you're traveling to, what's your favorite country, Jordan?
Off the top of my head, Spain.
Okay, say you're traveling to Spain and you twist your leg and you need to go to the hospital. OHIP, which is the Ontario Health Insurance Program, would cover you for up to $200 per day for a hospital stay and up to $400 a day for a higher level of care should you need it. And that program is being cut to save a couple million dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, we also learned that the government has stopped funding a program that was aiming to plant 50 million trees in Ontario. This is important because we were trying to build forest cover, which we need in this province to prevent flooding, to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, to fight climate change, and so forth.
Yeah, trees are good. I got it.
Trees are great. Last week, we also learned that the government is axing all the funding to the Mars Discovery District.
Okay.
This is something The Logic reported. The Mars Discovery District is an innovation hub where a lot of new ideas and new inventions and new tech start in that district. So what does the loss of funding mean? Not quite sure yet, but it's happening. And last week, we also learned that the Ontario Music Fund is being cut by half, from $15 million to $7 million, according to Billboard. What does that mean, Jordan?
I don't know.
Neither do I, but we know that the funding is getting cut and that is going to have some sort of effect on Ontario's music industry.
That's pretty comprehensive for just a week, but that's why we wanted to talk to you, because For myself, even, who covers the news every day and lives in Ontario, and for people who don't pay as close attention to the news over people who live in another province, I feel like we've heard a lot about one cut, another cut, another cut, and it seems really difficult to keep track of.
It absolutely is. It's a lot. And I think part of the reason that we're hearing more and more about new cuts every day is because, A, we have a new government.
Right.
They're barely a year into their tenure, and they have plans. And we're learning about those plans slowly but surely, and they're coming out step by step. So that's one part of it. The second part is that the budget just came out on April 11th, and it was a very complicated, difficult to understand document that we are just still navigating and looking between the lines of and understanding what, you know, some of the proposals mean.
If you're someone who's just casually paying attention to the news, it can seem like these cuts are being announced one day after the other. But explain the process a little bit to me, because is this the result of sort of 2 weeks of digging down into one document?
No, I think this is the result of a government still laying out how it's going to execute its plan and its vision for governance. If you can imagine, the budget that was put out on April 11th was a 380-page document that laid out a vision for 4 years that aimed to reduce red tape, that aimed to find efficiencies to reduce $13.5 billion deficit, according to the government, and that aimed to restore accountability. And those are the government's words, not mine, that they want to restore accountability and trust, and they want to bring more modernization and transparency to sort of the work that the government does. The budget lays out a series of ideas about this, and not entirely clear from first read what those ideas meant on practical terms. So when you're going through the budget and you're looking at numbers, so the funding of the Ministry of Natural Resources, for example, was cut. What does that mean? And then as you start digging into it, you realize, oh, that means that we have less money for firefighters who tackle forest fires, or we have less funding for flood management for conservation authorities.
Right.
How does, you know, a decrease in the budget for Indigenous affairs, what does that look like in practical terms? Does that mean that we're losing certain programs? Does that mean we're losing certain services? So you look at this document, you see the numbers, you look at their ideas on paper, and then in the days and weeks ahead, you try and figure out, okay, what is actually happening, though? What are we losing or what are we gaining?
In the 2 weeks since the budget was delivered, can you give me a sense of what we're realizing might have been the really key things that we didn't realize at the time?
This is a very, very long list, and I should know because I've been building an extensive list of cuts for the past week. But I think of the main things that people are starting to understand and react to the most from the budget is the fact that we're cutting $1 billion from public health programs, we're cutting $1 billion from social services, and we are reducing fundings to all manner of services across the province, including the Ontario Library Service. And as I mentioned previously, flood management, legal aid is getting a huge cut, as are paramedic services. And those are just some of a very, very long list that people have been reacting to in the past couple of weeks.
When you talk to people about these cuts, do you get a sense that this is unusual for a Conservative government or for any government to make this many cuts this fast? Or is this because they were voted in to balance the budget and to return Ontario to fiscal health? Is this a standard practice and what we signed up for?
I think it's not for me to say whether or not these cuts are unusual. But I think when you look at people's reactions, there is a certain level of shock. When they hear something like the Ontario Library Service losing 50% of its funding, because one could argue that no one voted for Doug Ford to cut library services across the province.
Right.
One could argue that no one voted for Doug Ford to stop planting trees. One could argue that no one voted for Doug Ford to reduce funding for flood management. Having said that, the government side would also say that, well, we promised to find efficiencies. We promised to rebalance the budget. We promised to restore accountability and transparency. And that's what we're aiming to do.
That's what I'm trying to get a sense of, because I do see both sides of this. And the way the cuts are being
not announced, but discovered day after day after day, can seem overwhelming, can make it seem like it's not usual. But he did promise to trim this, quote unquote, fat anyway.
Well, I think we're seeing a time that we haven't seen in a while, right? Ontario had a Liberal government for 15 years.
Yeah.
So any changes that came after an election were just extended promises, you know, from their previous time. So maybe it wasn't as shocking. But for the first time in Ontario's history, in the last 15 years, we have a Conservative government who has a completely different platform, a completely different vision of governance and economy and financial management. And it's a little jarring for those of us in Ontario who haven't seen the Mike Harris days that everyone refers to,
right,
where a lot of this also happened. I can speak for myself where, you know, every time something happens and it's like, oh yeah, this happened under Mike Harris too, I'm like, huh? I wasn't in Ontario at the time.
See, I remember being urged to walk out of class and stand in solidarity with the teachers back in those days. And obviously I didn't pay enough attention to the details of the Harris cuts to know effectively what was going on. But it was the same level of alarm being sounded by unions and, as Doug Ford would say, people on the left side of the ledger. And what I'm trying to figure out is if this is different and if the constant outcry over this is deserved or if this is simply what happens when you vote in a Conservative government.
I think when you vote in a Conservative government, you vote in their vision of governance. And that involves scaling back on government involvement in the economy. That is the premise of conservatism across the world. I think what is jarring for people in this case is that it's all happening so quickly and so unexpectedly in some cases and without any clarity.
Explain what you mean by that.
So people want answers to why was the library service funding cut by 50%? Like, what could that possibly achieve? How much is that really going to reduce our deficit by? And is it worth the social costs that a reduced funding of that kind will mean for people in rural Ontario or in northern Ontario who depend on interloan library services to for education, for information, for research? There is no explanation. Or you have a back and forth on, so the public health program came out. We learned on Friday, April 19th, that the government was slashing public health programs. Now, this includes a wide variety of things from, you know, disease prevention to school nutrition programs. And there is still no clarity on why we're cutting those programs. And people who have lived through the Mike Harris government, you know, claim that we're being taken back to the times of the Walkerton crisis, which was the biggest tragedy in Ontario, one of the biggest tragedies in Ontario, because without disease prevention, the water was contaminated. There was no oversight. And that community, that Walkerton community, are still suffering health consequences from that. And the public health programs were made stronger as a result of those findings. So it's happening all at once and it's happening without clarity. And we're not getting answers. Like, okay, you're cutting funding. What does that look like for you? Can you please explain to us what's being cut, what programs are being cut, what this means for Ontario society, and how you're going to make up for any social or economic costs that may result from these cuts?
Is that something a Conservative government or any government, for that matter, would usually be expected to provide when these cuts are announced?
I think clarity, I think explanation about government decisions is something we demand of any kind of government, no matter what political leaning member is in office. I think Ontarians demand explanation as to why things are being done. Even if it's a Conservative voter who voted for the Doug Ford government because they promised to cut cap and trade, for example, the program that was providing money for green programs in our energy sector, even they would be the first to say, I think, that, okay, if you're cutting the library service program to find efficiencies and to balance our budget, can you please explain what that means for my friend who lives in Sudbury who can no longer get library books whenever he wants them?
Do we have a sense of how Conservative voters feel about the way these cuts are being announced? Has Ford seen any impact on his popularity, or have we seen any meaningful resistance from the Conservative side?
I mean, if you believe the polls that have come out in recent months, there is a popularity drop. I mean, polling is a skeptical methodology, in my opinion. It doesn't capture everyone's opinion. So on the surface level, it does seem like the Doug Ford government is losing a little popularity. I don't know how conservative voters feel. I have spoken to some who say that they voted for Doug Ford and that they question that decision a little bit when they see what's happening. But it's not everyone, so right. I don't know. I can't speak for everyone. But I think the unanimous concern across party lines, across allegiances, is we want more information and we want more clarity on why these things are happening and what it means for us. Because if you just look at the list that I've created, you have everything from social services to school programs to classrooms to the environment to healthcare, and without any explanation as to what this means and what we're going to get. Because it feels like those of us watching these cuts happen are connecting the dots and realizing what this could mean down the line. But the government is not providing information to alleviate those concerns or to address them in any way that says, yes, we are cutting them, but we are aware that these problems might arise, and here's our plan, or here's our contingency plan, and this is what we're going to do.
How is the resistance to these cuts when they come kind of all at once like that? How do people decide what to protest and when?
I have no idea, because I struggle with how do I cover one thing when there's 10 things happening in a day?
Well, you can't show up at Queen's Park and rally for everything.
Maybe you can. I mean, Kristen Wong Tam, who's a Toronto City Councillor, she put out a tweet last week and she said, Ford's slash and burn of public services has gone too far. $1 billion cut to Toronto Public Health is on top of a long list of other budget cuts. On May 1st at 12 noon, wherever you are, walk, roll and stroll out. Take a video or photo. Flip Doug Ford a message. Hashtag resist Ford cuts.
Interesting. So it is the strategy of protest everything.
And attached to that tweet is a list, an extensive list of what's being cut. It's not full, but it's a lot. Yeah. And it ranges from transit to public health to school, the Indigenous Culture Fund, prevention sites, education, legal aid. It's a lot. So the question is, you just come out and protest everything, I guess.
What does that achieve, though? And that's what I want to know about this, because we covered the changes to the autism program on this podcast. And that was something where a great number of parents felt incredibly emotionally about it, and they really leveraged that and made it into a gigantic issue. And I wonder how possible it is to do that with something like, well, we don't like all of this. You know, can you make them make a change if you're saying, like, actually, we hate everything?
I think resistance in any form is a democratic right in our province and in our country. I think that when you have so much going on, the realization that it is affecting every single Ontarian, whether it is a parent of an autistic child, a special needs kid in a classroom that's too big, or a refugee who can't get legal aid, or an Indigenous kid who can't access grants to pursue his dream. I think once you realize that it's affecting every single Ontarian, you come out as Ontarians, not as, you know, your individual identities that are being affected by any one cut. You come out and support everyone else and protest all the cuts.
Does it keep going on like this? Or are we right now in that 3-week post-budget period when everything seems to be hitting at once? Or will we still be talking about new cuts in June, July?
I think we're still in the, this is a new government that is still figuring out how to execute its vision. And maybe voters didn't fully realize what that vision looked like when they hit the polls last June. But the government had a vision. It was a big picture vision, and that is what they're executing. That is what they're putting out. It's not even been a year. So we still have 2 months to go before we hit a year in the Doug Ford government. And I think for any new government, and I'm speaking as, you know, this is the first government that I'm ever covering in my life. So speaking as a reporter who only reads about these things and is covering her first one, I think this is normal for any new government to find its way. And I think to bring it full circle, because we've had 15 years of liberal government, and this is our first conservative government, we are very taken aback by the shift in the way governing is happening in this province. And the lack of information from the government has not helped in alleviating that.
But we did sign up for this.
We did sign up for this. Overwhelmingly, we signed up for this. We voted this government in. So we see how it plays out. And as reporters, we serve as watchdogs and we keep tabs on what these cuts mean in the short and long run. And as Ontarians, we do the same. And we protest if we want to protest, or we listen and watch and read and ask answers in our own democratic individual rights way, kind of way. So honestly, I think it's a waiting game. It is jarring. It is troubling. The list is long. But without answers, we can't really say what it means yet.
That's why we'll have you back. Thanks, Fatima.
Thanks, Jordan.
Fatima Syed, investigative reporter for the National Observer. That was The Big Story. For more from us, we're at thebigstorypodcast.ca and we're at frequencypodcastnetwork.com. On Twitter, at TheBigStoryFPN, we want to hear your feedback. And if you're interested in all our other shows, follow us on your social media platform of choice at Frequency Pods. If you still don't know where to find us, pick up your phone, go to your favorite podcast app, and just search, and I promise, we'll be there. When you find us, leave us a rating, leave us a review. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.